if you want to avoid all the sickness this winter, the snotty noses, the coughs, the colds, the sleepless nights, the fevers, the Panadol and the antibiotics, the ear infections, the grumpy, tired kids, the days off work and school and childcare, are all those memories of last winter coming back? I'm here to tell you that it doesn't have to be that way this winter. I have a free online masterclass, 3 simple ways to boost your kids' immunity to avoid a winter full of sickness. It's on demand, meaning you can register and watch it straight away or watch it at a time that is convenient for you. Head on over to naturalsuperkids.com/immune and you will be able to sign up. In the masterclass, I am covering our natural, simple, and effective approach to avoiding winter infections, how to boost your family's immunity with our proven 3-step naturopathic strategy that is really easy for you to implement as a busy mum. We're going to talk about the immune depleters that you need to avoid so you're not wasting time and money building up your kids' immunity that is just being depleted by these common foods and environmental factors. I am sharing heaps of practical tips. I promise it will be an hour well spent. You can register again at naturalsuperkids.com/immune. I can't wait to hear how you find it and to give you the tips to make this winter healthier. Welcome to the Natural Super Kids podcast, where you will discover practical strategies to inspire you to boost the health and nutrition of your kids. I'm Jessica Donovan, a qualified naturopath specializing in kids' health, and I want to make it as easy as possible for you to raise healthy and happy kids. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome to the Natural Super Kids podcast. Jessica Donovan here. So happy to be here today with you. We've had a real increase in the amount of people listening to the Natural Super Kids podcast. So I want to say a huge thank you for tuning in, for sharing the podcast with your friends, colleagues, family, whoever it might be. And if you're one of our new listeners, welcome. I am just so thrilled that we are reaching more people with what I think are really important topics when it comes to our children's health and well-being, and nutrition and naturopathy. So today we're talking about something a little different than our regular kind of naturopathic nutrition topics. We're talking about risk taking and risky play and risky activities in kids. And I'm excited to dive in. Now, I just want to say from the onset that I am definitely not an expert when it comes to risky play in kids, but I wanted to cover this topic because back in January, I shared some stories on our Instagram. By the way, if you're not following us over on Instagram, come on over and follow us and say hi. We share a lot of great content, a lot of information that supports and reiterates what we talk about on the podcast here, but also some behind the scenes stuff as well. So back in January, we went for a day trip with another family to a beach. It's probably about half an hour from where we live, and there's a jetty there. And so I shared some videos of my kids and some other kids that we were with jetty jumping, and it led to a bit of conversation about, how other parents feel about things like jetty jumping. And I was really surprised. I put a poll up on Instagram where you could, kind of choose one option. And the majority of our Instagram audience said that jetty jumping and risky kind of activities like jetty jumping made them very nervous. And there was quite a lot, actually, that said they wouldn't allow their kids to jetty jump. Now, obviously, I didn't have the whole context. I don't know if we're talking about two-year-old kids here, which obviously it's not an appropriate kind of activity for a two-year-old. But it led to a bit more conversation about risky play as well and the benefits of risky play and risky activities for our kids. And so I thought it would be good to cover this in a podcast as well. So, risky play is kind of defined as any thrilling or exciting activity that includes some risk of injury, such as climbing, jumping, balancing, sliding. And risk-taking in play can give children opportunities to challenge themselves, to test their limits, to overcome fear, and to explore their boundaries. And so I want to talk more about the benefits of risky play and risk taking in kids in a little bit. But what I just want to say about that whole jetty jumping kind of incident or activity, I should say, not incident, and what I shared on my stories is that one of the big reasons that I want to encourage my kids to do these things when I'm around is so we can have conversations about safety, you know, when it comes to that particular activity. So when, you know, my kids are jetty jumping and I'm there, I can talk about, is the water deep enough? How do we know the water's deep enough? Have we got solid evidence that the water is deep enough for you to jump into? Are you jumping far enough apart from the person next to you so that you won't bump into them, you know, knock your head, knock yourself out, and then, you know, you're going to be in trouble because you're in the water. So I would rather encourage my kids to start, you know, trialing and being a part of these kind of risky activities when I'm around, as opposed to them having their first situation, you know, when their friends are around, when there's no parents around, their friends are all jetty jumping and they've never done it before, you know. So in a situation of peer pressure where they can't kind of ask questions, learn from me. So that's one of the big reasons that I like my kids to, or I like to encourage my kids to take risks while I'm around. And of course, that's not always going to be the case. You know, I now have a 14 and a 16-year-old, and I know there's going to be situations where they are, you know, in and everyone's doing something they might not have done. But I just feel that it's, you know, equipping them for the future when I can be around and they can be involved in risky activities like jetty jumping, which is an example. And it also gives kids the ability to build their skills and to build confidence with supervision rather than, like I said, in that situation of peer pressure where, you know, they might be pressured to do something out of their comfort zone more. And of course, this is, you know, very much older kids. You know, you're not going to let a two-year-old jump off a jetty. But let's say for younger children, a good example could be climbing a tree. And so, you know, when a toddler is first starting to climb a tree and you're there right by their side, you can be kind of guiding them and asking them questions so that they can think about, you know, the risk that they're taking, obviously at a very age-appropriate level. So, you know, things like, are you holding on tight so that you won't fall? Where can you put your feet so that they're steady before you let go to grab on to the next branch? So you can kind of be talking them through. And of course, kids have very different abilities, you know, even at the same age. You know, some kids are strong with those motor skills, other kids are not. So a lot of kids might not even need that guidance when they're first sort of climbing trees. But if you're there, you know, you can also be saying, how are you going to get down? you know, how would you get down if I wasn't here to grab you? So I think it's really important to encourage our kids to take risks and partake in risky play and risky activities while we're around. It just makes it much safer, I think, in the long run. And I wanted to sort of talk through some examples of risky play, or the six categories of risky play. Now, these have been, I guess, put together or formulated by a lady called Ellen Sandsetter. She is based in Scandinavia, I'm pretty sure. She's a researcher and she's kind of known as the world's expert on risky play for kids. And so she kind of categorizes risky play into six areas. The first one is great heights. So she talks about the fact that children will seek opportunities to climb to great heights, like up trees as an example, as well as jump, balance, hang, or swing from those heights. And this helps kids to face fears and to build confidence. The next one is rapid speed. So children seek opportunities to run, swing, slide, sled, bicycle, skate, roll, ride, and spin at rapid speeds. You know, some kids really love to go fast, don't they? Other kids are much more cautious. And when I think about my two children, when it comes to like riding a bike fast, for example, my son has loved that from a very young age, whereas my daughter was much more cautious and it took her a lot longer. She was way older, before she was confident in any sort of speed on a bike. But moving at rapid speeds helps children understand their bodies and how to use their bodies, understand how to use their bodies as well, is what Ellen says. The next category is dangerous tools. Using potentially dangerous tools like knives, saws, axes, ropes, power tools, machinery. And of course, this helps kids to build confidence and build skills using these tools. When my kids were young, we went to this beautiful Waldorf Steiner-inspired playgroup. And the lady that ran that, you know, she had all these children-sized tools for the kids to use. And I just remember my son loved it, you know, hammers and little saws and knives that weren't too sharp, but, and we supervise them using these. And so I think, you know, obviously age appropriately, they can start to build skills for the future. Whereas if we are always, making knives off out of bounds, off limits, then they're never going to learn how to use them safely. The fourth category is dangerous elements. So this is children engaging with potentially dangerous elements such as fire, water, deep, cold, moving water, for example. And again, you know, we all can think of the examples, maybe they're our own children that have this fascination with like lighting fires, and that can obviously lead to disaster. But if we can allow them to explore that in a supervised way, it's, I think, a good thing. And Ellen says that engaging with dangerous elements is a chance to face fears and understand the world. And then there is rough and tumble. So this is where children seek opportunities to play, fight, wrestle, chase, sword fight with sticks, or pull noodles, etc., whatever they might be able to get their hands on. And she says that rough and tumble play is a chance to hone physical and social skills. And then lastly, we have disappearing or getting lost. So this is where children seek opportunities to play and explore unfamiliar spaces, either alone or in small groups. And she talks about disappearing or getting lost, offering a temporary, scary thrill. And, you know, this starts as a very young baby. If we, hide ourselves or hide them, that's an example of that sort of risky play. And so, of course, the degree of these risky kind of play activities changes as our kids develop and get older. So if you are a parent that is, you know, a little bit cautious, a little bit uncomfortable or very uncomfortable when it comes to your kids engaging in risky play, I really want you to hear some of the benefits that I've been reading about to get ready for this podcast episode when it comes to risky play. And I love this quote that I saw on, it was Nature Play SA, as in South Australia. They do some really great work here in South Australia in terms of encouraging kids to get outside and play in nature more. And I think there are these kind of organizations in different states of Australia as well. But I saw this quote on their Instagram and it said, "Parents see the physical risks of play. What might happen if their child slips or falls down or climbs too high? What parents don't see is the developmental risks if we stop kids from trying." So it's easy to say, you know, get down, that's dangerous, and see those physical risks. But by not allowing our kids to engage in risky play or try, we are, you know, we could be really having a detrimental effect on their development. And so let's talk about some of the benefits of risky play. So I think I said this earlier, but risk-taking in play allows children to develop decision-making skills, extend their limits, and learn new life skills. I think that really summarizes the benefits of risky play. And you know, I think risky play helps to build a lot of resilience and persistence in children. It definitely helps with the balance and coordination, you know, the development of those motor skills. And if we're not allowing our kids to engage in risky play, then that can be having a really negative effect on the development of those motor skills. And I think over time, you know, as they get older, that can really knock their confidence. Risky play also helps kids become aware of their own capabilities and their own limits, of their own bodies, rather than them relying on us to tell them, you know, when to stop, you know, when to slow down, when to come down, not to be as high, and those sorts of things. So they can learn and start trusting in themselves and listening to that. You know, intuition. And of course, they could get physically injured and hurt along the way. And of course, we don't want our kids, especially, to be seriously injured. So again, it's got to be very age appropriate, the risk taking. But when they do, you know, physically hurt themselves, that really helps them go, okay, that was too high, that was too fast, that was whatever it might have been. So I think that's important to, you know, understand as well. Risky play also gives our kids the ability to assess and make judgment. I think too often we step in as parents and we don't trust our kids' judgment. But more often than not, you know, that they will make judgment appropriate for their bodies. Of course, we all know our children. There are some children that definitely don't have that good judgment, you know, at certain developmental stages or ages. So, you know, like I said, I'm not an expert in this area, but I think what I've found from my kids is they generally are, you know, pretty good at making those judgments for themselves. It helps kids to understand the consequences of their actions. Like I said, you know, if they've gone too high and they can't get down in the tree, now what? And of course, we don't want our kids to be in those situations where there is real danger, but it really does help them to start understanding consequences. It gives them physical and emotional confidence. And of course, it helps so much with problem-solving skills. If we let them figure it out for themselves, you know, it can really help them be able to problem solve as opposed to us solving problems all the time for them. And, you know, now that I have teenagers, my kids, as I said, are 14 and 16 now, it's just amazing how quickly it all goes, you know, and how quickly it becomes clear that, you won't always be there as a parent to help your kids make the best decision. So if we can get them more confident in that problem solving, in that decision making, in understanding the consequences of their actions, in making good judgments, then I think, the better. So for me at the moment, I've got a 16-year-old son, he's learning to drive. God help me. It's the most nerve-wracking thing ever. So there is that. My daughter is going to the beach with her friends. There's a group of them, but there's all these things that definitely make me nervous. But I also feel like I've equipped them well to make good decisions have good judgment in these sort of situations. I've shared before that my 16-year-old son is like, he loves to mountain bike, and it's hard to watch what he does on his mountain bike, speeding down the mountains, doing crazy jumps. He's also now got an electric skateboard. So these things are risky. And I, have to let go, because I'll talk about the teenage brain in a second, but I know these risky kind of activities are good for his brain and maybe keeping him away from other risky, behaviours that he could be choosing as well. So there is a point, if you've got younger kids, that you're not always going to be there, and they are going to be partaking in risky behaviours. And I think for teenagers, this can actually be a really healthy thing. And just another little note on my daughter, she does not have a very good sense of direction. We joke about it all the time. So when she's out and about with her friends, even remembering sort of, which way to get home from the bus stop, or God help me when she's driving, I don't know how she's going to find her way around. But there was a occasion a couple of months ago that my daughter and her friend got lost kind of walking home from the shops. And it's pretty straightforward. They just went a different way, but they worked it out, So I think that's a good example of the getting lost kind of category of risky play, because she talked about it when they got home. You could see that it gave them a bit of a sense of thrill. And just on the teenage brain, so the teenage brain, if you're not aware, it's such a fascinating area to learn more about. The teenage brain has more dopamine receptors and a lower baseline of dopamine as well. So teenagers will generally seek out risky behavior and dopamine rewarding behavior. And that's why things like social media and junk food and drugs and alcohol and, vaping these days is such a problem in teenagers, is because of the way their brain works and the way that dopamine works in their brain. But risky behavior is a healthier source than, the junk food or the drugs or the alcohol, within reason. It can be a good way for them to get that dopamine fix. And that's the way I see, even though, I've got to look the other way sometimes when I'm watching my son fly down those mountains on a mountain bike. I think at least he's getting a healthy dose of dopamine. And he's not being drawn to maybe the social media so much, or drugs or alcohol so much. I think that's an important sort of way to look at it as well. But I think we all have our own level of comfort when it comes to risky behavior and risky play. And as I said, of course, it's very much age dependent as well. But I hope if you are a cautious parent, that has given you some maybe a different way to look at risky play and risky activity in your kids, because I think it's an important part of their development. Some kids, really have this need for risk more than other kids. And we do need to sort of take that into consideration and kind of meet our kids where they're at and try and get them involved in safe, risky play and safe, risky activities as much as possible, because it is really important for their development. So I would love to hear from you on Instagram what you made of this episode. As I said, it's a different kind of topic than we normally talk about here on the podcast, but I do hope it was helpful. And yeah, if you want to share anything with me, I'd love to hear from you. You can send me a message on Instagram or you can email me jessica@naturalsuperkids.com. Thanks so much for listening and I'll be back next week with another episode. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. Head on over to our website, naturalsuperkids.com, for the show notes for this episode, as well as a whole heap of inspiration to help you raise healthy and happy kids. I'll see you next week. Before you go, don't forget about my free online on-demand masterclass, 3 Simple Ways to Naturally Boost Your Kids' Immunity to Avoid a Winter Full of Sickness. I'm sharing my practical tips on ways that you can strengthen your whole family's immune system to avoid the onslaught of winter infections so your family can stay healthy and well this winter. You can sign up at naturalsuperkids.com/immune.